All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much, BBS, for making it possible. I welcome all those who are here online. We have this as a simulcast with a conference call. We have the lines wide open. Every time you hear a ding, that somebody participating into the conference call. They'll just join. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Eric in Suzuki, New Mexico.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi.
Are the aquifers in Texas, are they going down or? Nobody knows.
Somebody was just speaking about Texas. Are you there, Texas?
Yeah. Rain in Texas.
All right.
I think he left.
Diamond, you have a background. An echo. So even if
I don't have
yourself or maybe you're on speakerphone. I welcome the person who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wanda, and tonight I'm calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Hello, Wanda. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here, Wanda. All right.
Is it raining everywhere?
Not here, not in Ohio.
Beautiful. Wish it was raining here.
It's sunny and hot over here in California.
Oh, it's raining here. Cool and rainy. Right. Do you have a phone number or an address that I can get the Walking with God?
That you can what, sorry?
Dr. Friedman's book.
That I can get Terry Friedman's book.
Haven't you received the email? It's also in today's email announcement for the call.
No, I'm not. For some reason, I'm not getting the email. I wanted to, but I'm not on the list.
All right. Have you signed up?
A long time ago.
What's that?
Yeah, quite a while ago I did.
Okay. You might have to renew that. That
you can call Book Talk. Call Book Talk. You can order on the phone.
We had a few more people join in here on the conference call. I welcome you. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, Wanda.
Yeah?
You can order that book by phone if you call Book Talk, which is your number. You want to?
Book Talk?
I got the number here. Yeah, you want
okay.
the number? It's 1-205-267-9263.
9263.
Yes.
Try calling that.
Okay, sure. Yeah, Carolyn, me both wanted.
Thank you, Don, for thinking of that.
Thank you very much.
We had more people join in here at the call. Please say your name and location if you have a chance.
All right, it was just that wonderful guy from Seattle checking back in.
All right, welcome back, wonderful guy from Seattle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me see if I can play that.
Okay, shall we start the call at 6:03? I welcome all those on BBS Radio. We have an interesting call tonight. I am going to mute the lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And I will turn off. All right. Now, Terry isn't here yet, Wynn.
Hello?
Yes, Wynn.
Hang on a second. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hang on a second.
All right, Monday.
Could you hear the music then?
I cannot hear the music, no.
You didn't hear it at all, right?
Nope.
So I can't play the music.
Welcome, Chris. I can see you're here. I believe Terry has joined. Terry Brown?
Hi.
Hello, sister. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing better.
All right. But you're not there yet.
Not completely there yet. My mouth is still swollen from the oral surgery.
All right.
With some teeth and stuff.
Yes. Good luck with
that. Getting there.
All right, good.
So, Terry, you're not ready, right?
No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Me neither. And
they have this huge fire in Sedona, and it's been creating this monstrous plume of smoke. And it's amazing the amount of smoke that's coming. Steve experienced the smoke in Flagstaff too.
But is it going away from you, or are you?
Hives?
Yes.
No, I don't sound as good now, do I?
You sound good now. Yes, you do.
Now I'm on the cell phone.
Yeah, okay. I see that.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? Do I sound better on Skype or on the cell phone?
Let's keep it as is right now. I think you sound good.
Okay. So I'll leave the Skype open, but I can't play this song if I'm on Skype, if I do it the way I was going to do it, so...
But if you don't do it the way you did it earlier, because it's very distorted if you do it over your microphone.
Right, I tried to do it over to broadcast it, you know, I can upload it,
mm-hmm.
but this particular song, you know, I can't even, hang on a second, it's really interesting. It won't let me upload it. I uploaded it once and it worked. And then I couldn't upload it again. I kept saying, error, error. Let me try it once more and see if it'll do it. We got a really interesting call tonight. And I know I'm not going to say anything profound until I start the recording. Just a moment. Just testing it. I wanted to play this song. It said it uploaded this time. Okay. Let's try it. I'll just play a little bit of it and see what happens.
Thanks. Thanks to Willow.
Hang on.
Yes, I got this hurt inside. I tried to lay.
This is the right version?
Did you hear it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. And that's uploaded, so that solves the problems. Okay.
Okay. Okay, here we go. 607. Ready?
Let's go. Let's go.
This conference is being recorded.
Stop that. This is Wynn and Terry in a fire-laden Sedona, although I don't think... Where does the fire start, Terry? It starts north of Sedona, correct?
There's a place called Slide Rock where there's natural water slides where people like to go and slide down, and mm-hmm. it started at Slide Rock and went north
mm-hmm.
to the switchbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they've mm-hmm. managed to keep it on the west side of the Highway 89A. And they've stopped it at one of the post roads up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so far they've saved all the houses and everything that's up there. So it's 25% contained at this point.
So it's getting smaller, okay?
Well, it's getting larger. It's getting larger, but it's more under control.
I see. So when it's 25% contained, doesn't mean it's 25% smaller, right?
No.
Okay.
No. They've been starting backfires, which has made it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The backfires then burn into the main fire and that stops it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, just something to look forward to. Terry and I, there's a guy by the name of Alfred Weber. I don't know if any of you have heard of him, but he is very distinguished, and he's been a lawyer, and he's done a lot of things in the public, and he has an organization called Exopolitics. And I was aware of him for a long time, and he does these YouTube interviews, and I was a little nervous about connecting with him, because I wasn't sure if I could trust him, to most of you guys, there's things that are happening that are very hard to figure out. And they're very hard for me to figure out. Let me just finish. Alfred Weber, he's going to post a video that we did, and he came out really great. He's one of the smartest people that has ever interviewed me. And a lot of really great stuff came out of it. And, you know, he's interviewed many, many notable people. And once we started talking, he said at the end, he said, "This is the longest interview I've ever done." And so he said, I spoke to him today. He says it's going to be posted on YouTube by the end of the week. So I will be sure and send it to everybody. And it's actually a video where we were on Skype, and he divides the screen. So it's half him and half me. Most of it is me, but there's a point where Terry came in, and now he wants to have us do it again, and he wants to Elohim to come in and have them give a message to the world. So stand by. This will be really cool. And he does get a lot of attention. He's in certain circles, he's very respected. So it was kind of a big deal to get interviewed by him.
For the record, say that this is, May 26th, Memorial Day 2014?
Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Okay. All right, this is May 26th, Memorial Day 2014, and I forgot to say that. I don't usually forget that. Okay, well, you know, I have been engaged now in conversations with these sources for like 12 years, and I've got to ask every question under the sun, and that doesn't, you know, at the beginning, I was quite a bit of a novice, and I'm saying, who are these guys? How do I know I can trust them? How do I know they're not going to mislead me? How do I know they're not getting in the way because I'm writing this book of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce? And then the question came, what am I supposed to do with this? How is this going to be important to other people? How does this become important? Is this just going to create another group of belief systems that one is talking to the Elohim, and here's what the Elohim belief system is? And I really didn't want to do that. But then I started looking. I identified with New Age. When I was younger, and, you know, there was first the idea of New Age, and it was talking about loving everybody, and love is the key, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I said, hey, I like this. This is what I believe. And people would have identified me. I would have said I was New Age. And then we started channeling, and I found that I thought that my work would have been accepted by the New Age. I thought it would have. I thought it would have been important. And it wasn't. It was like, never have different individuals might accept my work. But in general, you know, we were at conferences, I was lecturing, I traveled around. You know, I could talk, I could be very interesting, and yes, there were some people that accepted it. In fact, some of those people still were listening to our conference calls. from that period of time. But in general, everyone was happy to sit in the room and be entertained, and that I could be entertaining and tell my story, and my story had, I learned to tell it, so it was funny, and it was tragic, funny, but nonetheless, you know, it did not create a wave of people interested in my work. And probably not until I was on George Norrie last, in 2012, that I suddenly find loads of people that the work struck a resonance with. And then I was trying to understand the New Age, what we're calling the New Age. And right now, I came up with an idea, which I don't usually talk about. I don't talk about it because maybe some of you identify with being New Age, and maybe some of you have been identified or been influenced by certain things, and I don't like to talk about those things and have come to the conclusion that they're negative. But for quite some time, I started to think, is this negative? Okay? And it kept reinforcing the idea that, yes, it was. And somebody on our calls sent me a article that somebody wrote called Why Am I No Longer a Lightworker? And it so closely expressed everything that I had been discovering that I thought it was a good excuse to use this article to share this with you, because it's not coming from me, and yet it matches many of the things that I have come to understand. Some of it through questions to our sources, some of it through the raw material, some of it from cross-referencing stuff on the web, some of it from reading something from another author that seemed to understand this. And I'm sharing it because one of the most important things that you can get from the work we're doing, and I hope some of you get this, is discernment. Because it is very hard to figure out in this realm what can you trust and what can't you trust. And, of course, you can always go ask someone else, when can I trust this? When can I trust that? Or I can say, Elohim, can I trust this? Can I trust that? Is this positive? They won't even usually tell me because they want me to get the lesson. Because otherwise, if you don't get that lesson, you may think that we're positive. You may think that. Maybe you don't, because I tell people you have to look through our stuff. I don't tell people how what we are. And yes, we come on 3 times a week and we put down quite a bit of positive energy and positive interface with the higher realms. But you can't depend that I'm always going to be doing this. You have to say, what if Lynn wasn't doing this? Do I have enough inside me, enough guidance system to figure it out in this realm, or will I get lost? And I'll tell you, even the best of the best gets lost. And if I didn't have this experience, I'm almost sure that I would be screwing up, okay? I would be, how would I say it? Like believing in something that was what you could call mixed polarity. Because what happens is we have this universe hologram of many dimensions, and within that universe, there are what we call positive and negative beings, but the positive can also be negative. And the trick is is a being siphoning your energy or not? Now, I experience really great energy on these calls, and I hope that I think this is true. The reason we have great energy is because there's a free will association, and I don't need to do these calls. I don't even, you know, I don't like responsibility. I don't like doing 3 calls a week, but I do like it, but part of me doesn't. Part of me says, uh-oh, I got to show up. And I had to, for a while, force myself to do it because I was learning. And now I show up because I know what we're doing is valuable. Willow said, when you're a leader, and I might be a leader, but I am not trying to be a leader. I am showing up, I'm being as transparent as I can be, and I think many of you respect that. And it took me a long time to get discernment. We have this universe hologram with both positive and negative in it. And even years ago, when I was writing music, some of you downloaded my music, and I'm going to make a little plug after I play this song, because I wasn't just writing songs. I was writing introspective looks at my own process. And in many cases, these are your processes as well. And you might be in the process of what I was going through when I wrote the song, in which case the song is going to be meaningful to you. And we've been getting some great comments from people who have been downloading songs. And I had to try to figure out. I resisted doing music for quite a few years now because I didn't want to compete with my own Elohim channeling whatever other work I'm doing, because I'm a really good songwriter. And I did not want to say, listen to my songs and give me recognition. And I can say, I still feel that way. I want to put this out because, A, for some of you, it's another way of lifting the energy. Second of all, it's a possibility that music is a lot easier to reach to the masses, and that people might, if that happens, then people might discover the other aspect of my work because they resonated with a song. So I wrote a song that was exactly about this issue of discernment and trying to figure out what you could trust and what you couldn't trust. And this was a genuine expression of my experience at that time. And I can say I seem to have discernment, certainly a lot more discernment now than I did then. But the song is called Recycled Pain. And it's like looking around in the world for something that's authentic, that's loving, that you can trust, and only finding things which are bouncing negativity back and forth. So I'll play this song, and then I'm going to go into this article about the New Age, which is kind of mind-blowing. So here we go. Recycled Pain.
Yes, I got this hurt inside. I tried to lay on you. Spoke the same old words of love, but the feelings weren't true. And though you made me feel good for a little while, that hurt came back again. Just another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Yes, I had been blaming you for these feelings that I had. Yes, I had been naming you responsible for all the bad, shifting responsibility, temporarily easing my shame. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain.
I think you guys can see how that song relates to the topic of discernment and how hard it is. You know, what happens is we feel needy. We feel empty. We feel like something is missing and that something outside of us can fill that. And some people say, no, you have to get it all from inside. It's all inside you. And I heard that for a long time, and I said, I'm not getting it. It's not coming up inside me. Where is it? Now, some people may be able to do that, but there's an aspect of humanness that can get a certain degree of fulfillment from our interactions with other people. And the difference between the negative and the positive in that is, do you allow free will or are you manipulative? If you're manipulative, it means on some level you don't have the self-worth to feel that you deserve to be loved. And then You have to manipulate to get energy. The problem with the manipulative aspect of getting energy from something outside of yourself is that the energy doesn't sustain. Only free will and co-creation between people creates a sustaining energy. That's why people go into relationships, and the relationships will last for a certain period of time, and before you know it, there's no energy. And it looks like you're being, if you're in that, it looks like somebody is denying you. It looks like, why aren't they giving me love? Why aren't I not getting what I need? But the chances are they're not denying you, but the energy has gone out of it because there was an agenda, some kind of control agenda, like, I'll bring home the money, you give me sex, or something like that. And eventually, suddenly, the energy isn't there, and the fulfillment isn't there. Now, it could have been. It's not that it has to go. But the only way to sustain energy in this realm is via free will association. And that's my experience, anyway. Otherwise, it dies. And the issue is the other realms work the same way. And that there are sources, and oftentimes they channel through people, and they seem incredibly wise, and yet they need energy from the people. And then the people need energy from their followers. And so there is a siphoning of energy that goes on, and the words sound very loving. And it's not very apparent that this is what's happening. And somebody wrote an article about this that was an extraordinary article. And it kind of put together all of the things that I had learned. I'm gonna read part of that article this evening. And then if you're on the list to get audios, etc., I'm going to have Robin add the whole article to this, to the mailing. If you're not on the list, we have a sign-up form. Many of you are already on this, because that's who we send these notices out to. Spirit, I think it's, just check here, Spirit Channel. No spaces, spiritchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. And then hurry up and sign up so when we send the audio out, you'll get this article. And but I think you're probably getting them anyway. Those of you that are getting notices, we send it to three different groups that have shown interest in our work, okay? So this is an article that was written by someone by the name of Cameron Day, who I never heard of. And it's entitled, Why I Am No Longer a Lightworker. No, I haven't turned to the dark side, but rather I am transcending sides. This article is probably the most important piece I have written to date. And in order to convey the full message, a bit of backstory is necessary. Hang in there with me, and by the way, you will understand why I will never call myself a light worker again. Planet Earth and much of our corner of the universe has been under a spell for a very long time, a spell which casts doubt within our minds about whether or not we are connected with the infinite source of all creation. The spell causes us to feel alone, vulnerable, and isolated, cast out from the heavenly realms into a cruel dog-eat-dog world. This spell is pure fiction. It's deception of the highest order, but it has taken hold deeply on this and in other worlds. Intrinsic within this holographic spell is the notion that duality and polarity are natural aspects of life, and that we must serve one side of duality or the other. This elegantly simple binary imprint has become so prominent that we have lost sight of the larger holographic spell that spawned it. Indeed, we have lost sight of the hologram altogether and come to believe that it is the sum total of reality. Humans have been conditioned to worship the holographic deception and the agents that perpetuate it. This hologram has been called Maya by the Hindus, and the Gnostics referred to it as the corrupt demiurge. I find this form a highly accurate description, and from the point forward, I will refer to it as the corrupt demiurge. In order to capture and control the wildest possible spectrum of souls, the correct demiurge split the agenda into two seemingly the agents into two seemingly opposing teams, dark versus false light. I feel everyone can be a saint, so there must be room for sinners within the demiurge, and that everyone is enveloped. Everyone involved is under a spell. What matters most to the demiurge is that we worship it or one of its agents, regardless if they are on the light team or the dark team. There are many names of the players within this cosmic, multidimensional drama that you will have no doubt have heard of, such as Lucifer, Jehovah, Beelzebub, Archangel Michael, Satan, Ashtar, dozens of archangels, supposedly ascended masters, and various other channeled entities. While some of these beings, by the way, you notice he didn't say Jesus, okay? While some of these... Hello? Where's that coming from?
Yeah, that's not coming from BBS, though.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Believe it or not, that was coming from Hives. Okay? And never mind. Let's go on. Okay, we're continuing. Okay. Well, some of these beings play for Team Dark, and some play for Team False Light. They are all ultimately playing for the corrupt demiurge that controls them. This, in essence, is the big secret of the Archons. They are not just the evil demonic beings, but also those who pretend to be angels and ascended masters. What is the point of all this control? The corrupt demiurge is an entropic system of artificially induced separation consciousness that is slowly dying, and it depends on harvesting the energy from the souls incarnated within its system in order to preserve its existence. You guys get that? that there's energy forms in higher dimensions, but they are not connected to source energy, and that those energy forms need to tap into our energy so they can exist. That is, whether they say they're light or whether they're dark, it's all the same. The corrupt demiurge is an entropic system of artificially induced separation consciousness. And, oh, I just read that. Okay. In order to harvest the largest amount of soul energy possible, it created the dark-light duality paradigm to ensure that every being incarnated on a world that is under its spell would serve as a soul battery to help keep the demiurge energized. The good souls would seek out the light team, and the bad souls would seek out the dark team. But unknown to most of those souls, they are all serving the same system. In order to keep the duality game interesting for its participants, the demiurge set up densities of existence that initiates on the dark and light paths that ascend through. This gives the beings moving through these densities a feeling of accomplishment when, in fact, they are navigating through a labyrinth of demiurge illusion. The players at the higher realms of the hierarchies, just a moment here. I think I'm going to read this on the computer. I printed it out. Hang on. Here it is. The players at the higher levels of the hierarchies know that they are in a self-serving system, but they are fine with the deal because they get to wield power and receive the energy of worship from beings further down the ladder. What about the spiritual hierarchy? Most channeled beings will claim to be affiliated with the light, what he says the false light-based spiritual hierarchy, which includes archangels, ascended masters, and positive ETs. These channeled messages are a dime a thousand, and more keep pouring out every day. The dirty little secrets to the corrupt demiurge and are waging a psychological battle on people they don't want to be associated with any formal religious structure. In other words, the New Age is a multidimensional psychological operation designed to channel the soul energy of the believers of these teachings up to the ascended teachers. Another one of their secrets is that most of the so-called ascended masters in their hierarchy never had a human incarnation. These are incredibly deceptive beings that are playing a game in order to garner the energy of worship. In the real universe of non-deception, nobody would worship them. But in the illusory sub-universe of the corrupt demiurge, they are able to trick good-hearted people into pouring energies of love, devotion, and praise into them. As for the archangels, they are more or less in the same category. They are not aligned with the infinite source of all creation, but rather they serve a lesser being posing as the creator, the corrupt demiurge. Therefore, they are not what I would call angels at all. In honor of the truly deceptive nature of these beings, I am giving them a new, more accurate title, the spiritual liararchy. The two teams have to play their parts convincingly, and the dark team has really embraced their role as villainous scum ready to kill, rape, torture, and do any sort of depraved thing they can get away with. The dark side is designed to be incredibly repugnant so that the majority of good souls will run to the other end of the polarity, right into the loving embrace of one of the false lights patriarchal religions or to the New Age religion with its legion of channels and masters. Earth has been a difficult planet for the corrupt demiurge to fully control.
human beings were once very aware of their connection to infinite source, and all of life and that awareness has been maintained by spiritual individuals throughout the entire reign of darkness on this planet. Because this awareness could not be beaten out of us by the dark forces, a plan was formed to co-opt the spiritual nature of human beings. First, patriarchal religions were formed and imposed on as many people of the world as possible. Anyone who didn't adhere to one of the major religions was an outcast for much of history until the last century, when the Theosophist movement was formed, which set the foundation for the New Age movement to emerge in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. The New Age movement has continued to gain momentum as it has attracted many of the people who turned away from the hypocrisy of patriarchal religion. The corrupt demiurge seems to have an easy answer for any of the inner turmoil that humans experience. If religion doesn't serve to appease an individual, then the New Age will do just fine. It's all the same to the demiurge, as long as we pick a side that it controls. This is why we need to transcend sides altogether. Channelers are being deceived. I wrote an article back in 2011 about some of the problems with channeled messages, which you can find here for more background information. If religion can be said to be the opiate of the masses, then channeled messages would be the hopium of the disgruntled minority. Every channeled message that comes from the spiritual hierarchy is essentially the same when you step away from the fluffy talk and storyline that is being used to couch the message. Here is every modern channeled message condensed into a few lines. Dear ones, you are greatly beloved by all of us in the spiritual hierarchy. We long to reunite with you, for we are your long-lost family. Stay strong and hold on to your light, because we will make our presence known to you soon. Keep waiting, and he puts in parenthesis, suffering, and hoping for us to come and rescue you from your situation. When we arrive, we will build a golden age for you on Earth. And then he goes back to, I used to think that this nauseating disinformation came from Archon Angel Michael Saint Germain, etc., was the result of dark side interference taking over the channels without their awareness. What I didn't understand back when I wrote who's really on this channel is that transmissions from truly positive beings weren't being intercepted and corrupted by the dark side, but rather the message were coming from the false light beings of the spiritual hierarchy. Lightworkers are being thoroughly used. Back in 1998, when I first got into the energy clearing genre, I had never heard the term lightworker, even though it had already been coined. I first heard it sometime in the early 2000s, and it sounded weird to me at the time. Now I understand why, because the light that the spiritual hierarchy is trying to get us to work for is the false light of the demiurgic duality. You see, there's a massive effort underway by beings that I now call divine agents to completely obliterate the corrupt demiurge. Let me read that again. There's a massive effort underway by beings that I now call divine agents to completely obliterate the corrupt demiurge. When this happens, all of the beings who have gained power through the demiurge will lose that stolen power. Will have to face up to the deceptions they have been propagating. None of them want that to happen. So in their cleverness, they devised a brilliant plan to undermine the entire effort. The plan was simple. Approach all incarnated divine agents, usually in a dream state, but sometimes during an ET abduction scenario, and tell them that in order to fulfill their mission, they need to work for the false light and take orders from the spiritual hierarchy. The plan worked amazingly well, largely because the divine agents have had a hard time living on Earth. Societies here are badly warped. Spirituality is twisted and abused. The vibrational density is heavy. Our memories are mostly wiped, and we would generally rather not be here. So any being that emanated light, even false light,
and love could make a divine agent feel like they were making valid contact with truly divine beings. I still remember my own recruitment by the false light that occurred when I was 6 years old in an extremely vivid dreamtime experience. They had me convinced that I was fulfilling my mission as a divine agent by working for them. I think they always knew I would figure them out, although it took a very, very long time. Many divine agents who were recruited as light workers report that they wake up more tired than when they went to bed, and their dreams were full of battles. During these dream missions, the spiritual hierarchy, squeezes those they control of as much energy as they can. You may wake up with memories of having gone on missions to battle the dark, but the end result is that your body, mind, and soul are depleted of energy, which was harvested by the false light being. A few months ago, I revoked all agreements made with any and all beings that did not have my best interest in mind, no matter who the beings were or claimed to be. It sounds like such a simple thing, but somehow I had overlooked it. During the process, I felt resistance from beings who were claiming to be positive, but I stood strong and told them that I refused to be manipulated into giving energy to the demiurge. This has given me the distinct privilege of being targeted by both the dark team, ankle biters, and the false light team, spiritual liararchy. The false light team does indeed engage in psychic warfares, just in different, more subtle ways than their dark brethren. Deflecting these attacks has been worth it, because I know I am more aligned with my true mission to put an end to the demiurge without being sidetracked into duality battles. It is also very nice knowing I'm going to get a good night's sleep when I go to bed, because I am not going to be pulled into any ridiculous missions to battle the dark that the false light beings are so fond of setting up for their light workers. That phrase actually creeps me out now that I know their true origins. What was that about the golden cage? The false light beings working for the corrupt demiurge want to maintain their control over the human race. Our soul energy and agreements to live in our current cage empowers the demiurge and the beings that serve it, and they are not going to give that energy up easily. We are at this very moment in a struggle for our freedom. The spiritual liararchy wants to move us from our current extremely uncomfortable cage into a slightly more expansive state of existence, but one that they are firmly in control of. One metaphor to describe our current situation is that we are like a flock of chickens pent up inside a dark, smelly chicken coop. Those that have been farming us are preparing to let us out of the coop and into a larger fenced-in area where we will be able to feel a little more free, but still within their control. This is the farmer's way of ensuring that they can continue to feed off of our energies while making us feel that we are free thanks to the kindness of our captors. The spiritual hierarchy does not want us to grow on our own place of self-empowerment that will allow us to simply walk away from their entire control system. This is why the channeled messages subtly disempower people while pretending to actually offer them an empowering solution. As long as we are sitting and waiting for the good guys to come and save us, we will not be able to discern who truly has our best interests at heart, nor will we be able to actually fix our own problems for ourselves. Now, you know what? This article goes on and on and on, and we're coming to the end of this show. We have a couple minutes. And, you know, this idea, maybe for some of you, is very radical. And, of course, here I am. We are involved in bringing a channeled source that I have come to the conclusion for myself is the real deal. And I have observed for years now that they never disempower me. We don't disempower you. This is about empowerment. This is about learning how to tune in to your own divine essence and operate out of that. And that you are a part of God in a physical body. You are a part of the infinite, of all that is. And that you can have a destiny of empowerment and living that experience. And that's what I hope to impart. And I know it's not easy. That's why we do these calls. And we hope to give keys and reference points to it all. And that article expressed many of the things that I had come to the conclusion of. And I think if you've been tracking us and listening to our calls regularly, I think you'll note that our sources very rarely, if never, do anything to disempower anyone. They never tell you what to do. They give guidance. You can feel loving energy from them. And they're not dependent on our energy for their sustenance. And in any case, it's 6:55. We're going to be off in 1 minute. Let me just see if anyone wants to make a comment on that. And by the way, when they say the demiurge, to me, that means a very large energetic consciousness.